Well, good morning. Sermon title this morning is A Kingdom Campaign. And this week being election week, it is election day is followed by many political campaigns, and it is, as you would say, heating up. And I want to talk about a kingdom campaign and something quite different. In the political realm, millions of dollars are spent on campaigns to win elections. It is astounding the amount of money people will give. And I read some of the accounts of millions of dollars just thrown to a campaign and believing that it's going to help in our country. In the church, hopefully, millions of dollars are spent in a kingdom campaign, sending missionaries throughout the whole world. We're passionate about it. We're all about kingdom advancement, and it costs money. We know that. And so we're willing as a church. I think we all would get right on board, say amen. Yes, we want to spend and give generously to advance the gospel and to get it into the whole world, as Jesus said. Both parties in the political campaign promise to bring change to our country. There's a lot of promises made that most times cannot be fulfilled. There's promises there that are, I'm going to end inflation, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And there's so many promises that I think are empty and not carried out many times. But as a church and a kingdom campaign, we can promise and preach and tell the truth. And we are part of bringing truth to the world. And yes, people are not let down by what God promises through the Lord. So a kingdom campaign, and I looked this up to make sure this is a fitting word. And the word campaign means an organized course of action to achieve a goal. And so I said, this fits. So when we're talking about a kingdom campaign, we're talking about an organized course of action to achieve a goal. And so the church is an organized church, and God is a God of order. And so there's an organized plan. When we send missionaries out, there's a lot of planning, a lot of preparation, a lot of goals that are set. And the goal is really to let the gospel reach an unreached part of the world, in all parts of the world. And so what is the kingdom campaign as you think about it this morning? I'm going to use Isaiah, the prophet, for this text, and then we're going to go into the New Testament as well. Isaiah chapter 40 is where we have this kingdom campaign, where there was an organized plan way back in Isaiah's time. He prophesied the coming of John the Baptist, and he said there's going to be a way prepared to meet the Lord. And he said there's preparations in place, a man chosen to prepare people for the coming king. And so if we could title this message as well, Prepare to Meet the Lord, because I believe we're in the days where the second coming of Jesus is drawing nigh, and we're preparing for that and looking forward to that. So turn to Isaiah 40. In verse 3, it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. There you have the kingdom campaign. Way back in Isaiah's time, God, through the prophet Isaiah, prophesied that there will be one coming referred to as the voice crying in a wilderness. And I love that picture, a voice crying in the wilderness today. More than ever, we need a voice or voices, the voice of God crying out in the wilderness, crying out in the streets, crying out, make a way for the Lord, get ready to meet the Lord. And this is what how it is described in verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill be made low. The crooked made straight, and the rough places plain. So there's change needed. Isaiah's language describes what happened when a king prepared for a journey. Workers in advance would make sure that the road which the king traveled was smooth and safe. Somewhat like a lot of the campaigns today, there were two assassination attempts, and security is very important for the political campaigns to make ready and prepare. I don't know what all goes into it, but lots of money is spent for security and making sure that it is safe. In a kingdom campaign, God, through Isaiah, was prophesying that one would go ahead of the way, making ready the people and making ready a way for the coming king. And we know today that that was John the Baptist. He was the forerunner. He was the one who had an amazing life. I would love to do a character study on John the Baptist. I don't plan to do that this morning, but an amazing calling that he had. And Zacharias and Elizabeth were the ones God used to bring John the Baptist into the world. And Mary was the one that God used to bring the Messiah, Jesus, into the world. And that whole story, God was, through Isaiah, saying, I have one prepared. I have a way prepared. And the message will be a voice crying in the wilderness. John the Baptist, of course, was the one who preached and baptized in the Jordan River. But the voice crying was, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. Like, when Jesus comes, and when Jesus comes to your heart, things need to change. We all know that when we open up our hearts and our lives to Jesus, when the world, if we're going to see a great revival in our day today, if we're going to see people coming to the Lord, there's going to be people crying and repenting of their sins and turning from a life of sin, because that's the way people find the Lord. And that's the way that Isaiah said, this is the voice that's crying in the wilderness. And oh, we need this voice crying today in the streets and in our world today. Make your heart ready for the Lord. The hills and mountains will be brought down, and the valleys will be exalted. The ground is level at the cross. The proud and the arrogant can be referred to as the mountains. Those that are proud and wealthy of our day today, they think they have the world's answers. They're climbing the ladders of success only to realize there's nothing at the top. And when people come to the Lord, we lay it all down at the foot of the cross, and our lives must be fully surrendered to the Lord. And there we receive the Lord in our hearts. The mountains and valleys will be, the mountains and hills will be made low. And then the valleys will be exalted, those that are depressed and abused and thinking that there's no hope, and there's many in our world that are ready to take their lives and commit suicide because they have no hope. And there's so many that we can come alongside and say, the Lord will accept you, and you come to the cross and the ground is level and you can find the Lord and you can find the life of Jesus Christ. You can find the answers. The valleys will be filled up and Jesus will provide for you everything that you need. And this is the voice. This is Isaiah saying, this is the way that's being prepared for the coming King. And it is no different today in the day we live today. I believe the Lord Jesus is coming back for a pure and holy church. I believe the Lord's coming back for those that are living and walking in the Spirit, those that are living righteous and holy lives. I believe those are the ones that are prepared to meet the Lord. And so this voice goes out today in the same way. Make ready a way for the Lord. The rough places will be made plain and the crooked be made straight. That refers to the things that are not right in our lives. When we come to the Lord, we're going to see this fulfilled in John the Baptist and how he carried this out in such a way. But we're looking at Isaiah's prophecy here where he's saying, this is how it is. It's like a king, those preparing for a journey for the king, the workers in advance, making ready the way for the king to come. And I believe that is what we need today, the kingdom campaign. We're talking about a kingdom campaign and how we're going to change the world, how things will really make a difference. This is the kingdom campaign. This is the message that's burning in my heart. This is what God led me to this week. This is what we need today. I don't know which way this election is going to go, but it really doesn't matter. Now, that's a bold statement. And I stand to be corrected, but that's where I want to be because of my calling and who I am in Christ Jesus. And the voice that Isaiah said is going to be crying in the wilderness, and the voice and what we need to be today. We are not this special generation that are entitled a good, comfortable life. And I was challenging many of these things in my own life today, this week, preparing this. John was sent to prepare the way, and this suggests that things need to change. And if this message is going to go out into the world today, people are going to fall to their knees and repent, get right with God. People are going to come to the cross and repent of their sins and lay their lives down before the Lord. People are going to receive forgiveness of sins and a new life in Christ. The advancement of the kingdom cannot be stopped. There's no way poverty can stop the advancement of the kingdom if we have this in our hearts and if we are living this out. I believe this can spread in all times. So let's go now to Luke chapter 3, where this is carried out in the New Testament. This is Isaiah prophesying this way back in his day of this being the way that the king would come, and there will be a forerunner, someone to prepare the way. And we have it in the Gospels, but there's one part that of this that I Luke shares a little bit of the response of the people that I want to bring into the message this morning. So I chose Luke for our text this morning, Isaiah and Luke. However, it is in the Gospels, the ministry of John the Baptist. So Isaiah 40 is fulfilled in the coming of John the Baptist, and it says in verse 3, Luke 3, verse 3, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. All flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord." So here we have the prophecy of Isaiah fulfilled in the coming of John the Baptist. John was the forerunner, the one who went before, preparing the way. And he preached a message of repentance. He's referred to as a voice crying in the wilderness. John was a humble preacher. He was a fearless preacher. And he was very successful in his ministry as well. It was 400 years between the Old Testament and New Testament. I think I'm right in that 400 years without a prophetic voice. And so there was 400 years of somewhat silence. And in the Old Testament, it says that God spoke through the prophets. And in Hebrews, it says he hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son. And so if we were back in the Old Testament and you go through 400 years of silence of the prophets, it was a time where this was an awakening. So here you come, here you have a prophet coming onto the scene, and he was referred to as the voice crying in the wilderness. It says of John that among them born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. I find that very interesting that it is said of John he was the greatest. However, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So I haven't really found the answer to that one yet. Of all those born of women, John really stands apart as the greatest. He was called, his calling was very hard. He lived a very simple lifestyle, and he was the voice crying in the wilderness. He was the one preparing the way for the Lord Jesus. But he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Study that one out. I believe there is a powerful truth in that. Who we are in Jesus Christ and in the New Testament, we are, yes, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. It says that he was a voice crying in the wilderness, and he ate, his clothing, his raiment was of camel's hair, and his leathern girdle about his loin, and his meat was locust and wild honey. He lived as a hermit in the Judean wilderness, a very simple lifestyle for what we know. He was totally resigned to his calling, lived a very simple lifestyle. He sacrificed a comfortable life for the calling that was placed upon him. He felt very unworthy. He pointed people, and I think he was faithful in this, a challenge to me and to each of us. He pointed all to the one coming after him. The one coming after me who's mightier than I, shoes I am not even, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So he knew and understood that his role and his calling was to prepare the way and point people to the Lord, to prepare the way and preach the message in power and truth. And he did that in a great way. And then he got out of the way, he was put in prison, and he was beheaded. And that's how his life ended. So he pointed people to the Lord. And when his ministry was finished, he had times and seasons of intense struggle and depression and questioning while he was in prison. That's how hard it was for him. But he was a humble preacher. He was referred to as the voice crying in the wilderness. He was also a fearless preacher. And I believe we need people in our day today like John the Baptist. As a challenge to myself, one who does not hold back the truth, one who does not hold back anything. He confronted the religious people of his day, and he called them a brood of vipers. Just some of the things we read about his ministry. Let's read them here in verse 7. It says, "The multitudes came forth to be baptized of him." Then said he to the multitudes that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now I read that, and we know that scripture very well, but I was trying to imagine myself preaching and calling the group of people here this morning, "You brood of vipers." Now, I don't believe that you're a brood of vipers, but that's what John did. The ones who came to him and the ones who were the religious people of the day who had a form of religion. But I believe he had prophetic eyes and that he could see right into the hearts of the people. He wasn't preaching in anger. He wasn't preaching out of hatred for them, but he really saw the need in their hearts, and he had eyes, prophetic eyes, that could see the needs of the people. And he said, "You need to repent. You're a brood of vipers." Some accepted it, but others did not. And so I say that he was a fearless preacher. You just read the text and you can stand in amazement at the boldness that he had to make straight the way. Remember, his calling was to prepare the way for the Lord. His calling was to bring people to repentance and to knock the props out of the lives of the religious people of the day. And he identified them as a brood of vipers. They were full of all kinds of sin and all kinds of things that needed to be made right in their lives. And while they had this religious form, and so that was the hardest message to preach, is to the religious of the day that are only a religious form. He also warned of coming judgment. He said in verse 12, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will that's in Matthew 3, verse 12. Matthew, it says, "Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge the floor and gather the wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." He said there's coming a day, and he pointed them to the coming judgments. In Acts, it tells us there's God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, and he laid that judgment out before the people. There's coming a day where the wheat will be gathered into the gardener, the wheat will be gathered into the barn, but the chaff will be separated from the wheat. There will be a separation today. We live in days where the kingdoms are together, and we cannot always tell the wheat and the chaff. But John said, and he pointed out very clearly, that there's a coming judgment where God will bring the wheat, which is referred, the wheat is referring to his own children, the ones who are holy, the ones who are washed in the blood of Jesus, the ones who are living and walking with the Lord. He's going to bring those home, and he's going to gather them home in a moment of time. He'll gather that group together all over the world. There's coming a day when this will happen. And he said, you need to be ready for this. You need to know this. God's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. These were the religious form. He said, you're a brood of vipers, you're chaff. And he's going to burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. So he pointed them to the day of judgment. He says in verse 9 of Luke chapter 3, "The axe is laid under the root of the tree. Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." So the axe is laid to the root of the tree. The way a tree falls, that's the way it will lay. You cannot repent of your sins after death. We need to have a relationship with God today. We need to be the ones that have made the crooked straight and all the valleys filled up and the mountains brought down and all these things that Jesus will do at the foot of the cross. Jesus will do all of these things to everyone in all the world if we come to Him and if we give our lives to Him. He'll make the crooked straight. And He'll take that bended, twisted board and He'll straighten it out and He'll work in our lives. That is really what God wants to do in our lives today. So as a tree falls, so shall it lay. There is no purgatory as I understand it in the Bible. I don't believe that we can pray people out of purgatory and pray for people and have their sins forgiven after death. No, the way a tree falls, so shall it lay. And as you hear the message today, today is the day of salvation. If you hear the word of the Lord, we need to repent and we need to come to the Lord today. And I believe this is the kingdom campaign that we need to send into the world today. So John was a fearless preacher and he died. It tells us in Mark, I believe it is in Mark, that Herod himself, he told Herod that it is not right for you to be living with Herodias. And Herod himself sent forth, because of an adulterous relationship, John had the courage to tell the king that you're not supposed to be living with another man's wife. And of course, that angered Herod and he put him into prison. He was put in prison for preaching the truth. I'm talking about a fearless preacher. And we need John the Baptist today, but we have to really look at his life. We need people that preach and have a prophetic voice in our day today. And we know the story there where they had asked for his head in a charger and that's how he died. The verses that I started with, or the verses that I want to end with, and it was the response of the people. So the people, in response to John's message, in verse 10, the people ask him, saying, "What shall we do?" And so I believe all of us this morning hearing this, myself reading and studying this, ask the question, come before the Lord in all honesty, "Lord, what should I do?" And I believe this is a right response. If you have that response this morning, you're hearing this, it's from the Word of God. God wants to use us today. What should we do? Should we get out and vote? Well, I'm not telling you to get out and vote. This is a spiritual kingdom campaign. And so we're talking about what God wants to do in our world today and reasons why. I've been challenged and asked for my position, and I will share it. I have never voted in my life. And I don't plan to, and I've been challenged on that. But my conviction is reinforced when I look at the scriptures and the calling of Christians and what is going on and has been going on in the political realm. I believe the world will be changed by a church that's on fire. I believe the world will be changed by people that come to the Lord and are on fire for God. And the world will be changed by fearless preachers as John the Baptist who are filled with the Holy Spirit and preaching the message of God today. And so I believe that this, what should we do, is practical advice for all of us that I want to end with in the sermon this morning. Verse 10, the people ask him, saying, "What shall we do?" After all of this message, and verse 11, he answered and saith unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Now that's simplistic, and it's very easy to understand. I don't really need to make a lot of comment on that, but that's really the heart of true kingdom living. How does this apply to our lives? I'm guessing all of us have two coats. And this was somewhat convicting as I went into my closet. I'm not even going to say how many coats I have. I will if I'm asked. But I have a lot of coats. And I'm guessing most of us have freezers full of food. I'm not sure I'm going to say how many freezers we have full of food, but we have lots of food and we have lots of clothing. Those are the days we live in. And so this really is the what should we do. I've had people come to me and say, hey, we need to make sure your generator's going and make sure everything's right. And I go to these scriptures, what should we do? And yes, I think it's right and good. We're living in days of prosperity, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a freezer full of food, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't go to Jubilee and buy a coat for $3 and a second one for another dollar, and you can get these coats so cheap in our day. And you get gifts with coats, and ministries give me a coat, and I have coats upon coats. And I got to thin out all my coats. I have work coats. I have a suit coat. I have coats for this and coats for that. And I think the principle is when we come to the Lord, we understand that we are to have open hands with all of our possessions. That's really what I want to share this morning. You see the same response at Pentecost when the New Testament began in the book of Acts, where Peter stood up a lot like John. Peter's message was so bold and so straightforward and right to the Jewish people. He was a fearless preacher, and I believe it was, I don't know how they decided who should stand up to preach. I don't think they took a lot of time. I imagine Peter just stood up and he began to preach as the Holy Ghost gave him the word. And after he preached that Holy Spirit message, he said, these men are not drunk with wine. These men are filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is Joel's prophecy. And he just laid out the scriptures. And he said, men and brethren, this is what you need to do. Repent and be baptized. But I the response of the people that were really listening and wanting to know what God's will is for them, their lives, said the same thing. What should we do? And I believe that's good. We stand here this morning in the times in which we live and we say, what should we do? This is what you should do. If you have two coats, give to him that hath none. If you have meat and food and freezers full of food, just be very generous and be ready. Don't think in your minds that you're going to pile everything up and while the world is starving, you're going to be living like a glutton. No, that's not why we have freezers of food, and that's not why we have two coats. We are here to be a blessing to the world if we have opportunity. I'm blessed by those that were moved in their hearts to go down to North Carolina to help. And I even heard it here amongst our church group. I think that's a good sign when there's devastation and there's need. There's men in the church saying, hey, let's organize an effort. Let's go down there and let's help with skid loaders and chainsaws. And can we help these people in need? And that's a good sign. And I love to see that in churches and God's people where they're willing and ready to help when there's serious need. And I believe it takes wisdom when that happens. We also know that there needs to be a little organization. You can't just show up with a truckload of food, and there just has to be organization and ways to give it out. But God will help us with all of that and just being ready to help. The second group that came to him in verse 12, the publicans, which would be the tax collectors, they came to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact or charge no more than what is appointed to you. So the tax collectors in that day were known to be dishonest. The Romans, they were collecting taxes for the Romans, and they would just charge more than they should and just pocket it. Zacchaeus was an example of that. He was a tax collector, and he was convicted of that when he came to the Lord, and he said, I'm going to make it right. So honesty in business was the second one, or honesty in your life. Tax collectors, he knew, and he could see the need of these different groups, and the tax collectors were told to be honest in collecting taxes. They were not told not to collect taxes, but just be honest in collecting your taxes. And then the soldiers were the last group that came, and it says the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Do not use violence anywhere. We are taught non-resistance, and so we have this teaching, and I'm thankful for that. We do not have, and I do not have, guns to protect myself. I could never take a life or use violence in that way. I believe we need to be wise in certain situations, but we're to be careful with false accusations and contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain, so we're to be content with our wages. So he had a message, what should we do? He had an answer for all of the questions, the different groups that came to him for baptism and wanting to receive the Lord. And really, I believe this was a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. The hills and valleys, the hills and mountains will be brought down. The valleys will be filled up. The crooked made straight. This great way for the Lord will be prepared. People will be getting right with God, and things will be made right. I believe that's really what it means when we're talking about a kingdom campaign. That is our calling as a church. That is what we're passionate. We're to be passionate about these things and to be generous in our giving. We need to open our homes to those that are in need. We're to be charitable, demonstrate brotherly love, especially to those of the household of faith, and also to those that are poor and have a less fortunate life, be generous in giving. James talks about this. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And so there is a calling to be generous in our giving. 1 John 3:16, it says, 16 to 18, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. True evangelical faith does not lie sleeping. True faith is feeding the hungry, giving clothing to those that are naked, and sharing as we have opportunity. In conclusion, a kingdom campaign for us today is a message of repentance and preparing to meet the Lord. It is not dependent upon an election. It is not dependent upon a political party. Yes, it could affect our lives. Our prosperity could be affected. But God's kingdom campaign still can go forward, and I believe that's really what is most important in our day today. Isaiah prophesied of a voice crying in the wilderness, making way, a way for to meet the Lord. And I believe today we can be those people today. We can be pictured or described as a voice crying in the streets, crying in Shenandoah, a voice just crying, make straight the path for the Lord. God's purposes are accomplished in this world by transformed hearts and lives of people. That's how the world will be changed. That's how righteousness will be advanced, is by transformed lives. Tithes and offerings and almsgiving is how the church gives back to the Lord. I believe almsgiving is just doing and giving generously to those needs around you that the Lord lays upon your heart. And I would encourage you to do that as you have opportunity. Almsgiving is just sharing in some way. One time I was out to eat and I went up to pay the bill. I maybe shared this before, and I was told that somebody paid it for me. And that just touched my heart. I still would like to know who it was. Somebody just had a little generosity there that said, I'm going to pay your bill today. We've done that in some of our outreach ministries, assigned people to go out and walk up to a gas pump and fully guided of the Lord and tell them, today, I want to pay for your gas. And just watch their response. See how you will touch the life. The Lord laid it upon my heart. We could probably all fit that into our budget one time a year, or maybe even twice. Just as you have opportunity, just giving alms and doing good, you will really be in a position to share your faith. As you have opportunity, as you can afford it, do those things and think about those things. If, I know it happened to me one time, there was a house fire and in town here, and people came running out of their house, and it was cold, and I was able to give my coat. I remember just giving a coat, because there was a real need. A house fire is very tragic. We try to be very generous with food, and when people come for money, we always are careful to give out money. We don't want to be seen as people just giving out money and going to wrong things, but food. When you really see someone hungry, I think we can be generous. So let me give you food. Are you hungry? A bag of chips or even, a dozen of eggs or whatever. Food. Freezers full of food and coats. We have much handed to us by way of business practices. We've been taught to work. We have a good work ethic. And let's use our business practices and work ethic to build the kingdom of God and be a blessing to the world. I think there's many ways within business that we can be this voice crying in the wilderness. Honesty in business, working hard and doing good. We've been taught many of these things, and we can be a blessing. We've been taught non-resistance and the two kingdom principles. We do not vote. We do not fight in wars. We do not serve in governments, but there are many things that we do, and we are involved in the other kingdom, the kingdom of our God, and the campaign that is a kingdom campaign. So let's go out. Let's trust the Lord for the future of our country and this coming week. Let's just trust the Lord that His way will be right and that we cannot be hindered by our calling, which is a kingdom campaign. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. We read of prophet Isaiah prophesying a day when John the Baptist will come to prepare people to meet the Lord. And we know that that was a successful kingdom campaign. People did repent and come into the kingdom of God. I pray that you would use our church in this kingdom campaign to be faithful, to raise families who love the Lord, to raise children who walk in the ways of the Lord and have a message for the Lord in our day today. Bless our church in this town and in our day and our calling. I pray that you would empower us and give us a strong faith in the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.